Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. On this program, we'd love to bring you a wide variety of guests to talk about ancient future Christian faith and what in the world that means. And today is no exception. And in the studio today is my very dear friend and colleague, Dr. Ellen Kohler. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Chris. It's nice to be back.
This is the first one of a new year, yeah? So welcome and thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. I always enjoy being here to talk about these things with you.
Ellen is our pastor for music and liturgy at Epiclesis, and she's also just a fun person to have around to talk about stuff. And Ellen, I had a quirky topic on my mind today that's probably going to blow people's minds.
What's that, Chris?
She asked with a little bit of fear and trepidation. Okay, well, this is going to seem really counterintuitive, maybe even a little countercultural. I don't know. But we talk about that a lot at Epiclesis, by the way, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Being countercultural and how we live in an upside-down world.
Yes, and that being countercultural helps us to turn that world right side up.
Yeah.
Or rewrite things in the way that you often talk about them, because yeah. Christ came to do that for us.
So I suppose that when folks tune in to the radio or the podcast or however they're listening to KFIA content or other church content, they're going to get some wonderful sermons and teaching and so on. And very often they're going to hear churches give all the wonderful reasons why you should come to their church. And so that's kind of the standard operating procedure, right?
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah, most churches are going to say, hey, we've got a wonderful program on Tuesday night for the kids, or if you're looking for X, Y, or Z, then you really need to come to our church because of this or that, right? You hear that all the time.
I think that's true.
But Ellen, I had a quirky idea.
Yes?
I was thinking it might be really counterintuitive and also instructional to put out there, say, the top, I don't know, half dozen or dozen reasons why somebody would not want to come to our church.
I think it sounds like a fun topic. Let's go for it.
I see the look on your face, and you seem a little skeptical.
No, I think it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, because I guess that's a way to draw distinctions.
I think that's true, and we get asked that a lot. Like, what's so different about your church? Mm-hmm. And one way to answer that question is to say, well, this is how we're different.
So, folks, you're sitting out there drinking your coffee or in your car or you're listening to the radio or maybe getting this digitally another way, and you're thinking about your own worship experience or what your heart longs for. One of the phrases I like to use is what makes your heart sing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking about worship and what makes your heart sing and worship. Well, we're going to do it a little backwards today when we're talking about Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. We're going to give you some reasons that you would not want to come to our church. Before we get to that, though, Ellen, I want to remind folks that they're listening to Ancient Future Faith with Chris Alford and today with Dr. Ellen Kohler. We come to you each week on KFIA Radio to talk about ancient future Christian faith and what in the world that is and what we do at Epiclesis, the church in Sacramento. Today, Ellen and I are talking about why you would not want to come to Epiclesis. And you know what? The first thing that comes to my mind, Ellen, is if you want to go to a church where you get lost in the crowd, and you want that, right? You want to kind of remain anonymous and don't really have to mix and mingle too much. And some people do. I mean, am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
Then you would not want to come to Epiclesis. So 80 on a Sunday morning would be really good for us. So we're a small church. And if you're interested in blending in, then please, folks, don't come to Epiclesis because you would really, really not blend in. We would see you. And if we see you, we might just be hospitable.
We might just be hospitable. I was talking with someone yesterday who said, you know, one of the things that I really, really love about Epiclesis is that we are a community and we're involved in one another's lives. And that finds its way into our services as well as into our small groups and our discipleship and our everyday living out of our lives with one another.
We really do want to have a church where we are accountable to one another and that we're doing life together the best we can. It affects the way we pastor. I mean, our pastors pour their lives into people, and we try to find meaningful ways for folks to connect. And we really want to see what it's like to live in community. That's why, Ellen, we call ourselves an Ancient Future Faith community. That's why you see that on our business cards or the website or whatever, because we want to emphasize that, yes, we are a church. We're a Christian church. We're a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, non-denominational Christian church. But we want to emphasize community. So if folks want to go to a place where they can kind of slip in and slip out, they don't want to come to Epiclesis.
That's right. And we know that the most wholesome and natural way for us to grow together as followers of Jesus and together as the body of Christ is that we live together and we share one another's lives and we don't try to hide.
Yeah, that's for sure. And that reminds me of another thing about Epiclesis that some people would just not like at all. So when you go into your typical church setting, you file into some chairs or pews, right? And so that means you typically are in a long row and you're kind of looking at the back of the head of the person in front of you. And the attention is focused, say, up on the platform or maybe the worship band or something like that. A lot of people are used to that particular setup. And if that's your preference, please don't come to Epiclesis. You would be, you would really be uncomfortable. Why? Because at Epiclesis, the instruments and the musicians, which are a key part of our liturgy, are not up on the stage and they are not the featured thing to look at, but rather they are part of the circle. And when we say circle, Ellen, well, tell them what we're thinking about.
Well, that's one of the first things that you'll notice if you walk into the chapel is that we are configured in a circle and not in the rows all facing the front platform, waiting for someone to lead us in worship, but we all participate together. And there are so many places within our services where we have the opportunity to share and to disciple one another. I was just reading in Colossians 3 the other day, and I was struck with where Paul says that we are to teach and admonish one another.
One another.
With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, and praying together and sharing together. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the pastors or the music people that lead us in worship or that teach us or that admonish us, but we are to do that with one another. And so we give each other a lot of opportunities in our service to share.
Yeah, in a scriptural sort of way, right?
Well, yes, our services are very participatory.
Yeah, for sure.
Which means that a lot of people have opportunities to speak and to read things and to pray within our services. And very often at Offering, for example, we give opportunities for people to share where they've seen God working throughout the week.
Well, let's get to that in just a second.
Okay.
But I wanted to interrupt and just go back to the issue of the circle.
Okay.
So folks, imagine you walk into the room and there are concentric circles. So there's not long pews or long rows of chairs focused on a platform or a stage, but rather concentric circles. And the focus of the room is on the Lord's table, which I hope we have time to touch on. And so, therefore, when you worship at Epiclesis, the church, you are looking and worshiping with and watching other people as they are worshiping. And I have to say, if you're not used to that, it takes a little bit of getting used to, right? And if that sounds a little intimidating or you wouldn't like that, then you would not like Epiclesis. That would not be something you would want at all. But if your heart sings and longs for a worship that is intimate and where we're doing it together.
And you truly feel connected with the people around you and on the other side of the room.
Yeah, then you might want to try it. Now, Ellen, you were talking about our worship being participatory. And there's another thing that some people are just going to hate, because some people might prefer to be in a worship service where clergy and choir and other folks are doing the worship and the congregation, for the most part, is receiving. But at Epiclesis, each week you randomly go around and see who, if anyone, might like to read a little snippet of scripture or participate in some sort of guided way in the service, which means that we're all doing worship together, literally, and different voices are popping up around the room throughout the worship service. And instead of one voice, say the pastor, we're all doing worship together.
And I can't tell you how many times people I have asked to read and them coming to me afterwards and saying, that was so meaningful for me. And then others saying to that one person, the way you read that just ministered to my heart so much. But the other thing that I would add is not everything is written out. We do have times for popcorn prayers.
That's right.
And those are so very special. And again, people will say to one another, what you said blessed me so much.
Yeah, we should say what that is, by the way. Sometimes in churches, again, the clergy or someone on the platform will lead in prayers, or perhaps it might be a deacon or something like that. But at our church, at Epiclesis, we often have the opportunity for people to speak, if they feel led, short, spontaneous prayers. And so if that's something that makes you uncomfortable, or you wouldn't want to do that yourself and would prefer not to hear other people do that, then you definitely would not want to come to Epiclesis. On the other hand,
if that intrigues you or sounds like something that would make your heart sing to be a part of that and to be inspired and edified by those around you and then have the opportunity to share that yourself.
You might be saying, Pastor Chris, how can all this be done decently and in good order? Well, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
We do worship together, and you get into the rhythm of it, and you learn as a community, as you move forward as a community, as you welcome new people in as a community, how to do worship together. You're listening to a radio program called Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith church in Sacramento, California. As I said earlier, we are a Jesus-loving, Bible-believing, non-denominational Christian church in Sacramento, California. And my guest today is our pastor for music and liturgy, Dr. Ellen Kohler. And we're doing something a little backwards and counterintuitive today, Ellen. Instead of giving all the reasons we can think of for people to come to Epiclesis, we're thinking of reasons that they would not want to go to Epiclesis. Isn't that the strangest thing you've ever heard in your life?
As I'm learning through this conversation, it's actually very enlightening and instructive about who we are. You know, we just were talking about some areas of what people might call freedom, but we were terming it as spontaneity in the Holy Spirit in our services. And that just made me think about the ways that we are not only allowing the Holy Spirit to give us spontaneity, but also there's form to our services.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Well, we have a liturgy and it follows a specific form. And
Wait a minute. Liturgy. Danger. So sometimes when people hear liturgy, they're thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to be some sort of uptight, dry as toast, I don't know, high church Roman Catholic kind of thing going there. What do you mean by liturgy?
Well, in its original meaning, it is the work of the people or the work for the people. And when we normally think of liturgy, we might think of, as you said, very high church, everything in order and it's all written out. We do have a form for our liturgies, but it follows the revelation and response form of worship and interaction with God that we see throughout the scripture.
Right.
We've talked about this in other of our broadcasts, and so I would urge people to look at the podcast archive.
I like to think of liturgy as kind of a skeleton or framework that you can hang music and scripture and preaching on, but that it gives opportunity and guides you for places of spontaneity, right? It provides a framework for spontaneity.
Yes, that's exactly right. And while a worship guide or a liturgy booklet might look very similar from week to week, the way it plays out is rarely so.
Yeah. So listen, if you don't like the idea of some form to the worship, you definitely don't want to come to Epiclesis. If you don't like spontaneity in worship, you definitely don't want to come to Epiclesis. But if those things intrigue you and how they might work together, oh my goodness, I would love to have you come try it out. Ellen, as you were talking about liturgy, I was thinking about the centerpiece of the entire service, or at least one of the main points of the service, which is the Lord's table. But before we get to that, though, I wanted to talk about another thing that occurred to me that I've really been thinking about a lot lately at our church, and that is how we emphasize and value whole family worship. Were you thinking about that one too?
I was, absolutely. It's been part of the things that we've been thinking about from the very beginning of Epiclesis, how much we value having the children with us as well as the saints who are aged.
So if you are interested in a church where the children are off doing their thing in a program, maybe in a separate building or a separate time, and it's only the adults in the worship center or the sanctuary worshiping, then you would definitely not like Epiclesis, because we try to emphasize as much as we can whole family worship. We love the idea of all of us worshiping together throughout the worship service, and that's something that takes a little bit of getting used to, and some people might find off-putting. On the other hand, if that's something that intrigues you, maybe your heart even sings at the thought of having families together so that we're teaching young people and children, especially, how to worship and what it means to worship, then I would suggest that you might want to try Epiclesis, because it's something that we value very much.
And one of the things that we've learned is that we learn from the little ones as much, perhaps more sometimes, than they learn from us. Their questions that they ask, the prayers that they offer, the freshness and the innocence of the way they come to the Lord's table, it's a wonderful thing.
That's a lovely thing to see, and to see the whole body interacting together. Mm-hmm. Before we get to the Lord's table, though, I want to mention that you're listening to a radio program called Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis. It's a non-denominational Christian church in Sacramento, California, and today we're giving you a whole bunch of reasons that you would not want to go there. Isn't that the silliest thing you've ever heard in your life? But I think by doing so, giving some really sharp distinctions about what makes us different from other places. And if we're listing some things that make your heart sing, or if your heart yearns for some of the things we're talking about today, then Epiclesis is a place that you want to jump into. I thought of something that we ought to mention before we get to the Lord's table, and that's the teaching time. Teaching at Epiclesis is a little different from most places. And Ellen, if folks are mostly used to sermons that are written out, presentational kind of thing, then they would not be interested in Epiclesis. Because our teaching times are structured in such a way that people have the opportunity, where appropriate, to give some feedback. And the teaching is very dynamic. How would you describe it, actually?
Dynamic is an excellent word for our teaching times at Epiclesis. You say that people have the opportunity to give feedback and ask questions where appropriate, but even if someone raises a hand on the spur of the moment to ask a question, how often does that take us to a place that the Lord really wants to emphasize, or a question that needs to be clarified, or something that is really going to minister to and bring wholeness to someone?
We really do try to find ways to engage everyone during the teaching time, because it is one of two very important twin peaks of worship, as it were. The other important peak of worship is the Lord's table. And here's one that I want to take a little bit of time to talk about, Ellen, because if folks are used to having the Lord's Supper, say, once a quarter or occasionally, and that's the way they like it, they would not want to come to Epiclesis. Why? Well, because we come around the Lord's table every week.
And even sometimes more often than that when we have special services.
That's right.
For example, at our Christmas Eve lessons and carols, one of the high points of the whole Christian year and of that service is coming around the Lord's table right at the very time when we celebrate the incarnation of the Word of God.
Now, this broadcast, we don't have the time to get into the way that the table is a covenant sign that answers the word of the covenant that we renew and remember each time we come to worship. But we should say that the table is a very wonderful time of worship. And I've heard folks say before that they wouldn't want to do the Lord's Supper each week because it would lose its specialness. If that's you, then you wouldn't like Epiclesis. But if your heart yearns for more frequent communion and an intimate time in communion, where after you receive bread and cup, you have the opportunity to what we call linger around the table And there's an opportunity for prayers, for healing, for the anointing with oil. If that's something that intrigues you, then Epiclesis just might be the place for you.
And Chris, I just thought of another one, and it's related to the table, and it has to do with our name.
Okay.
If you want to go to a church with a name that does not describe something specific about who you are, then you don't want to come to Epiclesis.
No. Yeah.
But Epiclesis, our name was chosen for a specific reason, and that was very much burning on your heart when we first formed Epiclesis.
Yeah. And Epiclesis, folks, is a very special kind of prayer. It's a Greek word. It means transforming prayer. And more specifically, it's the prayer that's said at table when we ask the Holy Spirit to come and do a transforming work in our lives. And when we thought about that for the name of the church, we said, yeah, that's what we want. Now, some people say, listen, you don't want to do that because people won't be able to pronounce it. Or every time you say the name of the church, you'll have to spell it. Or you'll have to have a conversation with somebody about what it means. And to that, which I guess is kind of upside down and countercultural, or at least counterintuitive, we said, good.
Right. That's a very good thing because it allows us the opportunity really to share something about not only about who we are, but about what God wants to do in the lives of his people. Because we come together, we worship in community. We hear the word and we're able to participate in sharing with one another. And then we come around the Lord's table and we remember him. As he said, do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And then we minister to one another. And we remember that we have asked him to make these elements for us, the body and blood of Jesus, and then change us too. So that when we go out into the world, we can truly love and serve the Lord. That's powerful.
It certainly is. If folks wanted more information about our view of the theology of these things, including the Lord's table or anything about Epiclesis for that matter, we always encourage them to pop over to our website, epiclesis.org, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. Before we go, Ellen, I thought of one more thing to tag on to the end.
Okay.
And that's the sending forth. If you're used to a church experience where maybe they come to the end of the sermon and you sing a song and you're out the door, then you would probably not like Epiclesis at all. You wouldn't want to come. But if you like the idea of the church being, what would you say, energized and sent forth each week as if on a mission, which we are, by the way, then you might want to think about Epiclesis, because the sending forth at the end of our service is really an important part of our worship service.
Right. You sometimes say this is the most important part of the service, which it's an equally important part
of
the service.
A little tongue in cheek, yeah.
I would say, because we take just a moment to reiterate something specific of what the Lord has taught us and inspired us with throughout the service. And we sing a song, but then we have a benediction that is filled with meaning, and we remind ourselves that we really are sent out into the world to love and serve the Lord.
Ellen, it's always a delight to have you come by the studio. You know, this was fun, actually, thinking of reasons that people would not want to come to our church.
Yes, it was.
And I think we ought to do it again, actually. In the meantime, folks, again, you can pop over to the website to learn more. We'd love to have you with us. If any of these things, well, make your heart sing. If you're a Christian who longs for more frequent communion, more intimacy, and more prayer, more scripture, more intimacy in worship, if you're longing for the opportunity to worship with folks where you can see them worship and participate meaningfully in worship, then I want you to think about coming to Epiclesis. Until we gather again for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to be thinking about this, would you? Surely the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Christmas is over, right? So what happens next? Well, one ancient future thing about our celebration is that Christmas doesn't end with a whimper or roll quietly to a stop. It ends with a big bang called Epiphany, the wonderful season that celebrates the revelation of Jesus Christ. Join us for worship during Epiphany. And by the way, our Sunday morning discipleship series is starting up, and I'd love for you to be a part. As always, get more details on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next time for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.